Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit Zurich.ie.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
You're very welcome back to Drive Time. Una Kelly here with you this evening until 6 o'clock. To Gaza now, where Dr. Tom Adamkiewicz is an American paediatrician working at Nasser Hospital in Gaza. Now, last week he made a high-profile appeal to Donald Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, to visit him at the hospital in Khan Yunis in Gaza because the majority of the hospital's patients had signs of malnutrition and children were passing out. Well, just before coming on air, I spoke to Dr. Adamkiewicz and asked him first about his work at Nasser Hospital.
So I'm a paediatrician, so I work in the pediatric section, which is a separate hospital from the hospital where there is the emergency room and where we stay. We also stay in this hospital part, and that's where the ICU are. The ICUs are, and also where the surgical units are. So I walk through that part, and it's pretty distressing because, yes, they're the emergency room throughout our stay, almost like every day, has been a mass casualty event where people are bringing people in stretchers and bringing out dead people from the hospital. There's blood on the floor. It's a terrible scene. It's like something I've never seen.
And would this be gunshot wounds and people who were in shell attacks?
So, like I say, I deal mainly with pediatrics, but unfortunately, some of those injured are children. And a colleague of mine is a pediatrician, and he, like three of his cousins, their kids, like 13 to 15 years old, and one had a bullet go through the side of his body from the left side to the right side, just transecting his spine. So he fortunately is doing better right now. He was extubated, and he's, but he's probably going to be paralyzed for life, and another child is probably not going to make it, and the third one is probably never going to walk again also. So
is it your understanding that these children are injured while they're in a situation seeking food?
Yes, that's my understanding, yes.
And we're hearing reports today that organizations in the region are saying that the aid drops are not effective at all. Is that something that you're recognizing as well?
Well, I haven't done a big survey or anything like that. So it's what I see on the ground. And just yesterday, I went through in the evening through the wards, the tent wards, and the nurses were sharing a little bit of a meal. And so there's a definitely shortage of food here. I personally have not seen any differences, but I mean, we're living a bit of an isolated life, and we're fortunate because we get a bowl of rice every day, or macaroni, or so, from the hospital staff gets that. But I could say that the nurses, and they're gaunt. They're everybody, all the personnel just keeps on talking about food and different ways of, with limited resources, how to make things tasty and stuff like that. So it's sort of like people joke about it, unfortunately. And so I personally have not seen any huge changes, but I'm just one person here.
At the moment, how would you describe the lengths that people are going to try to find some source of food? Is it possible at all?
Well, it is possible to get some food because there are markets and where you can buy food, but the prices are astronomical from what I understand. I mean, just earlier this week, I was told like a kilo of rice or meat was like close to the equivalent of $100. And I mean, just simple things are extremely expensive. And one of my surgical colleagues was just telling me how some of these children that are being shot at. One of his surgical colleagues showed like the bag of flour that they're basically trying to get. So So I don't see that. I mean, I'm just from one person perspective, but
you're a pediatrician working in the Nasser medical complex in Han Yunis. How would you describe the situation where you are in the hospital at the moment?
So it's a very interesting scene because it's an academic unit, and there was another large hospital that's about 10 kilometers away from here, the European hospital, that was shut down. So the team from there is also working, and so it's a wonderful group of individuals that are trying to provide care for children and 24 hours a day, and so it's very crowded. Children are there are children to a room, and the mothers are there, and there's a lot of they see 600 to 800 patients in the emergency room. Maybe 60 patients are admitted a day, and it's usually the usual problems that one would expect in these type of situations, which would be a massive problem of gastroenteritis, which because of the sanitary conditions and the water supply is poor. So children develop diarrhea, and when they develop diarrhea, they can't feed themselves, and then it becomes a nutritional problem. So it's not just the lack of food, it's this very difficult situation to live in these tents. It's the water problem, it's infectious diseases that are spreading. And so it's this sort of toxic mix of an environmental, a very sort of difficult environment, in addition to the older siblings not trying to scramble for some food and being shot at. So, yeah.
Are you treating cases of malnutrition in children as well?
Yeah, so every day, most children have some undernutrition. So I think that's one thing I think that, having done some of these, it's a bit of a misconception. People are looking for these skeletal children like that you're seeing on the pictures. But what's really happening, from my understanding, is that there's a general undernutrition. And then what happens is there's a child that falls into this spiral where, like, they could have diarrhea, chronic diarrhea, and then they spiral down into this situation of severe acute malnutrition, which is life-threatening. And so the longer this type of situation lasts, the more children are going to hit that. But most children are already in this precarious situation, and just a little bit, just a bad diarrhea or something will precipitate this downward spiral. Same thing with especially children with chronic diseases are particularly vulnerable. Some of the poorer families. It's a difficult situation for people here.
How would you describe the demeanor of the children that you treat in the hospital?
What's absolutely amazing is how incredibly resilient people are here. Both the staff and the families, the mothers, because dealing mainly with mothers, they're just incredibly resilient, and parents and the kids also. Of course, when they're very sick, they don't want to be sick, but once they start getting a little bit better, it's already like a high five and smiling, and despite difficult situations. So it's just for me, that's this resilience is what's going to stick in my mind for the rest of my life.
At the moment in Nasser Medical Complex, how would you describe the resources you have to do your job? Is there power, for example, electricity?
Yes, there's power right now. It sort of comes off and on sometimes. There is water. Some medications, or certain medications are lacking. Some antibiotics are lacking. I know my surgical colleagues are complaining about the very difficult circumstances to work in. They're environment is very difficult.
And Tom, you'll be treating people, as you said, who are coming in with gunshot wounds, with malnutrition, dehydration, and then ordinary day-to-day medical conditions as well. If someone is living in Gaza at the moment with a medical condition, how difficult would you describe their existence at the moment?
It's very difficult. I mean, people are saying enough of this. They want this to end as soon as possible. They're saying we're tired, we're exhausted, we're stressed out. We want this to end. And so, yeah. And I may add, there is just a press release just came out from the Ministry of Health. There's a concern that there's could be now a difficult situation with outbreaks. For example, there's an illness which causes paralysis that's spreading around. It doesn't seem to be polio related. And there's several kids and adults that have this, and so it's being investigated to try to understand what it is. And that may be an additional stress. So.
Last week, you pleaded with Steve Witkoff, Donald Trump's Middle East envoy, to come and see the reality of what's happening on the ground. What happened?
No, I mean, from the part of Mr. Witkoff, well, no, nothing. I mean, of course, I mean, haven't heard anything. Although I did hear from some European embassies, so that would be my plea to Ireland, to send a delegation here.
At the moment, we see these pictures in the news on social media. For yourself, having to bear witness to the
Yeah.
suffering up close, can you
Right.
describe what is running through your mind?
Well, it's just it's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. It was a bomb. That's another thing. They're demolishing all the houses around the hospital with regular bombings here. But what I find, it's just unacceptable. It's a crime scene. It's like it's a crime scene, and people need to be held accountable. I mean, whoever's doing that shooting, that's deliberate. The scarcity of food, that's deliberate. Those are crime scenes, and it's unacceptable. I mean, there needs to be also an effort and on all parts for peace. That's going to be really critical. But the kids are not part of that political process. They have nothing to do with it. And so, to punish children is unimaginable. I don't think it's barbaric. It goes back to the Middle Ages or even before that. It's just, I don't think even the Romans would do that. I don't know. The Ireland, countries like Ireland, and have an extremely important role to play and to put pressure on the EU. And to put pressure to put an end to this, and to send a delegation here.